Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we are going to read the first six verses. I'm excited to preach to you this morning, and I want you to hang on. I'm actually going to plan on being done preaching just a tad early. I think we've got one that's getting baptized this morning, and I'm hungry. No. John chapter 14, we're going to read the first six verses, and let's read them responsively. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Ready? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And let's pray. Father, I need you this morning. Lord, what a truth that you've given me to give to your people. I wish I could say that I'll do it justice, but sinful flesh can't take the perfect words of God and do any of it justice. Lord, do what I cannot do. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak through me to the Holy Spirit in each one of the people here and apply it to their lives. Help us to gain strength. Help us to gain encouragement. Help us to gain confidence. And may we, most of all, grow closer to you because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you shout amen in church, today's going to be a happy day for you. Amen. I love the topic of heaven.
Amen.
I love to think about one day being in heaven with all those who have gone on before us. Brother Roy is thinking of your dear wife. Larry and Sherry is thinking of Rick. I was thinking of others who have gone on before us that we know. Brother Jimbo is thinking of your brother. Brother Jimbo's brother got saved 8 days before he died. But I know this, I'm going to see Buck again. And you know what I'm going to hear him say? That's my preacher. Never called anybody in his life his preacher but me. What a humbling statement from a tough old grizzled redneck. I mean, tough. Matter of fact, it was so bad, Brother Jimbo decided he was leaving the room when I showed up because he didn't want to hear me get cussed out. But yet, I watched that tough old man bow his head and trust Jesus Christ as his Savior. And then I got to preach his funeral. Over 30 people get saved at his funeral. There were more guns per square inch at that funeral than the NRA competition. I'm not kidding. Am I lying, Brother Jimbo? I know. Say, how do you know? Because I was carrying mine. I love the topic of heaven. I love the thoughts of one day being there. I'll get to see my grandparents. I'll get to see loved ones. I'll get to see my preachers. I've got several pastors who are in heaven. I'll get to see Brother Hiles again. Most of all, we're going to get to see Jesus.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but that motivates me. I'm not what you would call an emotional person, but the thought of seeing Jesus just motivates me. I'll get to see those nail-printed hands. And by the way, they're not scarred. He's the I am God. There's still holes in his hands. There's still a hole in his side. There's still holes in his feet. He is ever present. They didn't heal. That's why in the Old Testament it says, we will see his wounds. It didn't say we'll see his scars. Put your hand into the nail. Scarred hand? No. The nail pierced hand. Because it's still there. Heaven. It's a word that brings comfort to those of us who are saved here on earth. Here in John chapter 14, Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says, fellas, he's talking about the fact that he's about to be crucified. And he said, fellas, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now watch this. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Can I tell you something? He was talking about a place called heaven.
That's right. There.
He said, I'm going there, and I'm going to prepare a place for you there, so that when it's your turn to go, you have a place to go to. And he said, not only am I preparing the place, I'm preparing the way for you to get there. That's why he said Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It doesn't come through the church. It doesn't come through the Pope. It doesn't come through the priesthood. It doesn't come through your good works. It doesn't come through baptism. Whether they sprinkle, whether they splash, whether they pour, whether they dip you. It's water. Just because some dude gets up and prays over it doesn't make it holy water. You know you can't put a hole in water? It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin.
That's right.
You do not get to heaven based on you. You get to heaven based on what he did for you. May I say this? I love it. Jesus called heaven my Father's house. Well, the moment you get saved, to as many as received him, then gave he power to become the sons of God. The moment you trust Jesus Christ, you become a son of God.
Amen.
Adam, yesterday, about 11 o'clock, you bowed your head and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You became a child of God. That means you're a brother of Jesus. Matter of fact, God not only made you his son, he adopted you into the family. Just like he did you and me. Guess what? That means in our Father's house.
That's
not just Jesus' Father, that's our Father.
Amen.
Glory. I'm about to have a spell here. As the old George Mueller used to say, hold my mule while I shout. Amen.
Amen.
Since God is the creator of the entire universe, think of how wonderful heaven will be. We know the streets of pure gold. We know the walls of the different jewels that will be there. The gates, there are one giant pearl. There'll be 12 of them, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. I could go on and on and on. I taught for many, many, many Wednesday nights on the topic of heaven and how wonderful it'll be. There's much to say in the Bible about heaven. And it will far exceed anything our puny little sinful brains can comprehend.
Yes, sir.
We think in the finite, God is infinite.
Right.
We think in the temporary, God thinks in the eternal.
That's right.
We think in the limitation of man, God thinks in the unlimited creator of the universe.
Amen.
We cannot even begin to touch the hem of the garment of how wonderful it will be. It'll be far more wonderful than anything we can imagine. Look how beautiful this world is, and it's cursed by sin.
Right.
Imagine what a place not cursed by sin will be like.
Amen.
But today, I'm not going to talk about all that will be in heaven. I want to take time to maybe puzzle you, but yet rejoice. Jesus said, in my Father's house are. I'm going to preach a sermon today called, what's not in my Father's house? What's not going to be there? What won't be in heaven? I honestly, I didn't even count. I just started writing. I didn't scratch the surface hardly. There will be dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of things that I'll present to you today. It is amazing. We talk about streets of gold, gates of pearl, walls of jasper and onyx and sardine and others. And we'll see the temple in heaven and the true tabernacle, and we'll see the altar, and we'll see the Ark of the Covenant where the blood of Christ is that saved us, and we'll see all those different things. We'll have all the people that have been saved in mankind's time history here who will be there, and all those wonderful things, but what won't be there? what will not be in heaven? May I say something? Sometimes the most wonderful part of something is what is absent, not what is present. It's not going to be a pretty outline. Most of the time, I don't have those anyway. But it's not going to be organized in a logical series of thoughts that is line upon line, precept upon precept. If you're an outline person, you'll hate this sermon. But may I say something? You'll love the truth. If you'll excuse the style to get to the truth, I think I can help you today. You see, there are many things that won't be in our Father's house, number one. And I'm not going to number any more after this. I'm just going to say, next! There will be no hospitals, amen, no doctor's offices, no drugstores in heaven.
Amen.
Praise God, it's a place where nobody's going to get sick. Amen. Thank God it's a place where no one will ever be injured or hurt. It's a place where nobody is going to bleed. It's a place where there'll be no flu. Glory to God. No pneumonia. Hallelujah. No asthma. No cancer. No kidney stones. Hallelujah. No heart disease. No psychological issues. No PTSD. No surgery. No emergency rooms. And no nursing homes. Did you know that heaven is going to be a place where you'll never see anybody sick? You won't be able to call in sick once you get to heaven. No sick days, amen, Brother Larry? You'll never have to throw up in heaven.
Amen.
Man, I hate doing that. I'd rather go through the last half of the tribulation than throw up. I hate that. And I fight it every step of the way. My wife laughs at me. Come on, honey, just do it and get it over with. No, you don't understand. I've been there a couple times where it's just, you know, right at the verge. And say, oh, God, please. Oh, God, please. God, help me. God, help me. And I've prayed it back down, let me tell you. Say why? I hate it that bad. Just hate it. I remember I was working in college. I think it was my freshman year. I got a job at what they call Andy Frame. And I was working at the McCormick place as a security guard. My first day on the job, before I walked into the building, I had the flu. And I mean, I was sick as a dog. My dad taught me, don't call off, especially your first day. You're going to get fired. You show up, doesn't matter. You crawl in.
Amen.
I crawled in. I'd worked for about 2 hours. And it was a good thing I was near a washroom, because I got in there and everything that had gone down the hatch came out. And it came out so violently, it was not even pretty. And yeah, it was bad. My supervisor heard something in the bathroom. He came in and he said, good night. He said, you all right? I said, if I was all right, would I be on my knees in front of the commode? Thinking, I don't care if you're my boss or not. I don't care if I get fired. It's over. He said, tell you what, Bush. He said, I'm going to put you over on the other side. He said, nothing's going on over there. He said, you just sit down the rest of the night. I said, God bless you, man. About an hour later, man, my nose was burning. I couldn't take it. So I found something to blow my nose, and chunks of food came out my nose. I was like, wow, that's bad. I hate throwing up. I just hate it. I decided I was not going to do it anymore. That's what you call blowing chunks, amen? Can I tell you something? That's never going to happen in heaven. Thank God. I think that happens in the other place. There's not going to ever be the words, it's cancer again. There's not going to be the words, they have Alzheimer's or dementia. There's not going to be the words, you have multiple kinds of cancer. There's not going to be the words, it's terminal. There's not going to be any stitches, and staples, or super glue. Amen, Brother Harry? y'all don't realize, you think I'm kidding, they put people back together with more with super glue than they do stitches and staples.
Yep.
You say, well, it's a medical grade. It's the same stuff, let me tell you.
Still guards the same.
There will be no hospitals, no doctor's office, no doctor's visits, no bills for them in heaven. Next. Probably my favorite thing. There'll be no funeral homes or cemeteries in heaven. Brother Mike, there's not going to be any more death there. There's not going to be any more funeral planning. No more will we sit down beside someone that we love and help them with the funeral director, spend $12,000 to $15,000 to put somebody in the ground. The average funeral costs $12,000 to $15,000 for a burial. That's not fancy. There's going to be no funeral sermons to plan, no caskets to pick, no headstones to choose. By the way, if you've never had to do that, you'd understand how rough that really is. There'll be no baby caskets. I've preached more funerals for little ones who the casket could fit on top of my pulpit right here than you can imagine. No more long, lonely walks away from a fresh grave. No more grieving family. No more grieving friends. No more final goodbyes. No more, they really look natural. No, they don't. They look dead. No more, they didn't do a very good job. Well, have you ever tried to do something with something that's dead? I get it. You know, when there's not much to work with, let it be. Yeah, I've not left instruction, but can tell you something. I didn't look good in life. Why open the thing back up when I'm gone? No more sitting there with a child or children and explain to them that daddy's not ever going to be home again. That daddy won't be there to love and play with him. But the Jeff Jones down in South Carolina started a church. Went down to start a church. Ended up with leukemia and had to start a church from his hospital bed. Started with about 13 doctors and nurses in the hospital. Went into remission. Started his church. A couple years later, got it back worse. His little four-year-old boy. After the funeral, my wife and I were back with his wife, sitting at the house. Little David came over and was playing with me a little bit. He said, Brother Bush, my daddy's dead. He's not going to be home. Could you be my daddy today? I put my arms around that little boy and put him on my knee, and I squeezed him close, and I said, Buddy, I can't be your daddy, but I can play with you like your daddy would. And we got on the floor and played with trucks and went out and threw the ball together, but I couldn't be his daddy. No more will I ever have to take the body of a dead baby out of a mama's arms. Give it to the nurses to take to the morgue. And I've had to do it. See, preaching isn't all you think it is. No more death. No more funeral homes. You know, those people in funeral homes have no humor. They do not see humor at all. Those people really don't know how to have fun. My wife and I sat at the funeral home and helped Mrs. Stoltz and Rachel planned Rich's funeral here just a couple months ago. And those people don't know how to laugh. We were rejoicing, and they're the old stone face. They're not used to that. And I finally got the guy aside and said, Hey, will you lighten up? He said, This is serious stuff, Pastor. I said, Why? I said, that's just a body. I said, Rich is in heaven. And we all understand that. I said, number two, you didn't know Rich like we did. I said, he'd be upset if we weren't laughing right now. That's why they put pink socks on him. I did lean over at the graveside and told Susan, I said, you do know at the rapture, those are staying behind. And she started laughing. No more funeral homes, no cemeteries. Next, there's going to be no violence and no more war. There's going to be no more shootings in the streets of Chicago or New York or D.C. or Baltimore or Atlanta or San Francisco or Houston or Miami or Martinsburg. There's going to be no more violent crime. There'll be no more rape, robbery, or looting of people that have gone through a hurricane and flood. How miserably low can you get? How low can people be that when tragedy strikes, the first thing they want to do is go rob everybody? People like that need to be on the front end of a front end loader, sucking up all the dirt. There'll be no more murder. There'll be no more child or spouse abuse. There'll be no more old people abuse.
Right.
I can tell you something, our country has lost respect for life, whether old or young. There'll be no more nation versus nation. There'll be no more Putin and who's this idiot in Syria?
Assad,
that's it. People like that won't be around. There'll be no more terrorism and bomb threats. We're not going to have to worry about those things in heaven. Next. There's going to be no more alcohol to drink and no more drugs to take. There's going to be no drunk drivers to cross the center line and crash into somebody, Miss Kim. Wine is mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever deceived that thereby is not wise.
Right.
The opposite of not wise is foolish. Well, Jesus served wine. No, he didn't. You don't understand the scripture. As soon as the juice leaves the fruit, it's called wine. If you notice in John chapter 2, in the wedding at Cana of Galilee, he says, the ceremony leader said, why'd you save the new wine until last? New wine equals juice.
Right.
That's it. It was the best. There's going to be no more spouse who will be beaten by a drunkard. By the way, I used to say no more wives beaten by their husbands, but we got drunk women that beat their husbands, not these days. There's going to be no immorality or stupidity because of the effects of booze and drugs.
Yes.
There's going to be no more need for Narcan to bring people back that are too stupid to quit pumping acid and poison in their body.
Yes,
by the way, it's not Bud Wiser, it's Bud Dumber.
That's right.
It makes you stupid. There's going to be no more divorce because you can't control the drugs or the alcohol. By the way, alcohol is a drug.
That's right.
It's just one that the government makes a lot of money on.
Say,
what should we do about it, Brother Bush? I think we ought to go back to the prohibition days and not have any of it sold legally. There's going to be no poverty because we've drank our money away or taken drugs and taken everybody's money away by drugs. There's going to be nobody living on the street because of the bottle. used to be an old preacher. His name was Mel Trotter. Mel Trotter was a drunkard. Mel Trotter drank so much, he drank like a fish. He was still married and had two children, but he was never home. He'd get a paycheck and he'd be at the bar for 3 or 4 days at a time. Never go home. Word came to him in the bar one night, Mel, your daughter's sick. Your wife needs you to get some medicine. Get out of here and go get your wife some medicine. And he said, I will, just give me another drink. 24 hours later, they came and got him and said, Mel, your baby died. You need to go home. Mel Trotter went to the funeral home where his little 5-year-old daughter lay dead. Mel Trotter was so drunk, such a drunk, And while nobody was looking, he reached into the casket and took her little shoes off of her feet, slipped them into his pocket, went to the pawn shop so that he could buy more booze. Mel Trotter got saved and became a preacher. But there's going to be no more drunkards that are that addicted. No more young people that'll steal from their parents and their grandparents just to get another high. Nobody taking prescription drugs for the wrong purpose. There's going to be no alcohol or drugs in heaven. Number next. There's going to be no banks, bill collectors, bills, or credit cards in heaven.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? You're not going to have to pay your mortgage in heaven. It's already been paid in full. Jesus paid it all. You don't have to pay an electric bill because Jesus will be the light. You don't have to pay any sewer bill because there's no trash there. You won't have to pay Apple Valley either, amen? You won't want for anything because you'll have more than you could ever want for. So you won't need to buy anything. God will cater it to your desires. You're not going to have financial stress. You're not going to have bounce checks. You're not going to need personal loans. You're not going to need a mortgage. You're not going to need a credit card with a high interest rate. And you're not going to have any month left at the end of the paycheck. Say why? Because it's all paid for and it's all yours. Bless God. I was telling the teenagers in Sunday school this morning, in the 30 years I've been in the ministry, it's hard to believe the amount of money God has allowed me to oversee. And I mean, it's scary, the tens of millions of dollars I've overseen. And I mean tens and tens and tens and pert near hundreds of millions of dollars for the Lord's work. When I was in Hammond, we needed $44,000 a day to keep budget. $18 million a year for the ministries there at First Baptist. $44,000 a day just to keep the doors open. I understand financial stress. You go into a $620,000 building project and you don't charge people. You do it by an offering. Put your neck out on the line like that once. Find out how much you pray. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Yeah. And then don't change the way you preach just to keep somebody in church. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
I'm not changing.
Amen.
There's not going to be any banks in heaven. We won't have to do their work for them.
Amen.
There's going to be no more ledger sheets. There's going to be no, what's the quick books? Is that the right word? Sorry, you can tell how much of that computer junk I do. I know ledger sheet more than they do QuickBooks. There's going to be no more of that. I got to hurry up. Next, there's going to be no God-hating fools there.
Amen.
What a wonderful thought. You know, you're not going to hear God's name used in vain ever again when you get to heaven.
Amen.
I'm starting a new campaign. I'm going to have you help me start it where you work. I am so sick and tired of people using God's name in vain. How about they say Allah, D-A-M-N?
That's right.
Are you doing okay?
Amen.
Why is it only Jehovah God that they curse? How about we start using their gods?
Amen.
How about Buddha?
Yep.
How about Mohammed? Say, preacher, well, aren't you afraid? Why? They talk about our God that way.
Amen.
I'm about to get mad. I'm never going to have to hear, well, you people just need God for a crutch. Can I tell you something? That's about as foolish as it gets. These are the people that believe in evolution. There's going to be no religious piety and people playing God in heaven.
Amen.
El Papa won't be there speaking ex cathedra.
Amen.
He's got to clean up his own house right now. He's got more to say grace over than Mary could even clean up.
Amen.
And let me just go on record. The Catholic Church is the mother of harlots in the book of Revelation.
That's right.
The doctrine is impure, and all the harlots are the Protestant churches that protested against the Catholic Church that came out of the Catholic Church.
Right.
Those are the harlots of the mother of harlots. Notice they're all going back to Mama.
That's right.
You don't see much difference between an Episcopalian and a Catholic,
right,
or a Presbyterian and a Catholic.
That's right.
Or an Episcopal and a Catholic, or the Church of England and a Catholic, and even the United Methodists and others that are going right back to it. We are not Protestants, we're Baptists.
Amen.
Baptists are not Protestant.
That's right.
You are not a Protestant. You didn't protest anything. John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and Baptist wasn't his last name.
Amen.
Folks, can I tell you something? We didn't come out of the Reformation. Martin Luther killed more Christians than the Pope did.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? We've believed and sucked down church history through the Catholic Church, and we didn't take God's history through the Word of God and history the right way.
That's right.
Man, I'm having fun right now. Did you know there's not going to be any religion in heaven, just save people?
Amen.
I love that. There's going to be no goodbyes in heaven. You know, in heaven, nobody's going to move too far away to where you have to say goodbye. In heaven, you're not going to have years and years and years of goodbye and maybe never see them again. In heaven, you're not going to have people that will die and leave you for decades before you see them again. I was thinking yesterday, it used to be every Saturday afternoon I'd call my grandmother. And I did that for over a quarter century. Well, at age 99 and a half, last fall, she passed away. It's been almost a year she's been in heaven. Brother Mike, you know, yesterday I picked up my phone and I thought, I can't call her. It's such a part of my life. There are days I miss it more than others, and yesterday I missed it a little bit. I say, did you cry, preacher? No, I rejoiced that she was in heaven.
Amen.
She wasn't hurting anymore, and she was with Grandpa, or as she would say, Fred. Everything's fine. Do I miss her? Of course I do. But when I get to heaven, I don't have to miss her anymore.
Right.
I don't have to miss Grandma and Grandpa Bush. I'll hear Grandma sing, and she'll be on key now. You had no Grandma Bush. She made Brother Roloff sound good. She couldn't sing a note in tune, but buddy, she sang every day of her life. And I'll get to see Grandpa and hear Grandma say, Boots, guess who's here? That's what she called Grandpa. You know, we'll never have to have age separate us. Never have to have a job separate us. Never have to have distance separate us. Nobody's going to move away. There's going to be no goodbyes in heaven.
Right.
Listen to me. Did you know there's going to be no memory of sin in heaven?
Amen.
Brother Neil, did you know when you get to heaven, you're never going to remember one sin you ever did? Bless God. You know, you'll have no memory of any sin that you've ever committed because God will blot it and wash it away.
Amen.
And in heaven, you couldn't remember the sin because then you're having sinful thoughts. You'll have no temptation of sin there. Brother Larry, nothing that you ever did or thought wrong about your wife will ever be there. Amen? Do you know that nothing that you've ever done sinful will ever be there? Brother Harry, you ought to be thankful for that. No speeding tickets you'll remember, amen? may I say this? If God won't remember it, why should you? God says your sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
And when we get to heaven, we will wake up and be like him. Therefore, we will not know them anymore.
You'll have no desire to sin. Glory to God. You'll have no need to forgive someone because there's no sin that will be committed. That means there'll be no bitterness in heaven. You won't have to forgive Ellen for being Ellen. It'll already be happened.
You won't even have to forgive Fred. I'm not sure he's going. No.
Can I tell you something? Heaven is a place where there'll be no remembrance of sin. Now, you will know that you're there, and according to the book of Revelation, you'll remember that you were redeemed, but you'll not remember why. You'll never remember one of those sins. I love it. Next, there'll be no broken hearts in heaven. No child will disappoint you. No parent will disappoint you. No one will renege on a promise that they made to you. No one will, no unmarried child will become pregnant or cause someone to be pregnant. There'll be no divorce in heaven. There'll be no unfaithful spouse. And there's going to be no disappointment in heaven.
There's going to be nobody that you love that broke your heart. There's none of that that will ever be there.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? Life is a vale of tears and people hurt. I'll be honest with you. I never expected 38 years ago that I'd cry as much as I cry, but I hurt with people.
I rejoice with people, but I hurt with people. Babies are born, and I go to the hospital, my wife and I, and she oohs and ahs over how cute she thinks they are, and I say, God is good and all that wonderful stuff because there ain't no baby in the world that's beautiful. Pink, wiggly, ugly, and all they do is eat, sleep, and exhaust. All right? Sorry. They just
look like a prune with a little bit of life in it. Amen? It just doesn't work for me. And you say, all babies are just so beautiful. Ladies, God made you ugly blind. That's why you married a man. Because there ain't no good-looking men. Amen, fellas?
Amen.
God just made a woman with her eyes to where she's blind to ugly. All right? That's how men can get a wife.
Amen.
I'm not sure how these sodomites do it. Amen? They're just reprobate.
Can I tell you something? Every one of those little babies, my wife through the last 30 years has heard me hold on to them and pray over them and say, God, help them to get saved early in life. Help them never live a life of sin. Oh, God, save them early. Protect them. Say why? If we can get them saved by the time they're 4 or 5 years old, they might not mess their life up so bad. I've had those very children that I've held in my arms and prayed for.
They sit across the desk from their parents 16, 17 years later and tell them that their teenager was pregnant or got somebody pregnant. Watch parents get their heart broken. I've sat across the desk from those very children and had to tell the child that mom and dad are divorcing and watch those children's hearts break.
Say why? Because we're all sinners. But there's going to be no broken hearts in heaven. None. Next, there's going to be no evil influence in heaven. Can I tell you something? There's going to be no gossip in heaven. Glory to God. All the tongues are going to get cut at the gate. There's going to be no criticism in heaven. There's going to be no news press in heaven.
Amen.
I'm not even sure they're going to make it there. There are going to be no destructive people and attacking character there. There's going to be no offensive words or actions in heaven.
Amen.
There'll be no evil governments in heaven.
Amen.
There are going to be no cliques in heaven.
Amen.
It's not going to be, well, you can't join our crowd. By the way, there's going to be no cliques at Grace Baptist Church either.
Amen.
There's going to be no bad leaders and no dictators in heaven. Say why? Because there'll be no evil there.
No Nancy Pelosi.
I can give you a list as long as your arm. That means there's going to be no engineers in heaven. Amen? No evil. Next. There's going to be no fear in heaven. Oh, I wonder what's going to happen. You're not going to have to ever worry about that in heaven. There's no fear of somebody being rolled into surgery wondering if they're going to keep their leg or not.
Amen.
No fear of their being rolled into surgery. Number one, no sickness. Number two, you don't have to worry about them waking up because you know they're not going to sleep.
Amen.
You see, there's no fear of what might happen because we're in heaven. There's no fear of how I might feel. You don't have to worry about it there in heaven. There's no fear of pain or hurt. You'll not hear the words, "Watch this, y'all." Amen. Brother Mike was getting ready to come off that bus, and I said, "You all right, Brother Mike?" I said, "Feel good to stand up after a couple hours." He said, "Yeah, I don't jump down anymore." I said, "Well, it's not the jump that hurts. It's the sudden stop at the bottom that gets you now. Gravity is taking hold, amen?" You know, there's going to be no worrying in heaven. You know, you're never going to have to worry again once you get to heaven. We worry way too much. Oh, we worry way too much. There's no fear of losing someone or something in heaven, including your mind. Ellen sent me something the other day. I think it was yesterday. Said she got her first set of memory foam shoes. Now she can remember why she goes to the kitchen. I love it. I love it. You say, "What's memory foam pillows?" That's so you don't lose your brains while you sleep. Amen. Get them for your teenagers. Hurry, 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 hurry. There's going to be no fear of robbery or being hurt or wrongdoing to you. There's going to be no locks in heaven because nobody's going to steal.
Amen.
Oh, my soul. There'll be no fussing and feuding and fighting and complaining in heaven. There'll be no misjustice there. There's going to be no protests in heaven.
Amen.
Say why? Because you're not going to do things the way you want. You're going to do things the way God wants.
Amen.
There are going to be no harsh words in heaven. There are going to be no hurt feelings in heaven. There's going to be no need for patience in heaven because nobody will try them.
Amen.
Some of you have nothing to worry about because you didn't use any while you were on earth. There's going to be no shouting and screaming and hollering and yelling at one another in heaven.
Amen.
There's going to be no complaining that you didn't get what you want, when you wanted it, and how you wanted it. There's going to be no arguing in heaven.
Amen.
There's going to be no comparing what you have with what others have.
Amen.
There's going to be, "Well, I see it this way," in heaven. Can I put it down to where we live? There's going to be no picking on one another, or, as I would say, we're not going to be poking the bear in heaven.
Amen.
Don't poke the bear. He might bite back, amen? Or she might bite back. Next, and I'll close after this, there'll be no darkness there.
Amen.
You know, there's going to be no wandering around in uncertainty. Now, I'm not one of those people that weather affects me. It doesn't affect my attitude. It doesn't make me sleepy because it's gray outside. I don't get despondent because it's raining. I don't get depressed because we've had 5 days of gray and no sunshine. Can I say something? It doesn't affect me that way because my son is the S-O-N, not the S-U-N.
Amen.
You can let the S-O-N shine all the time. Pastor friend of mine in Illinois texted me about 4:30 this morning. He said, "I've been up since 3. He said, "I'm getting ready for the sun to shine, the S-O-N. He said, "Sunrise is coming." I said, "I'm listening for the trumpet. I'm ready." There's going to be no fear of what you cannot see because it's dark. There's going to be no despair because of the darkness, no depression because of no light. There's going to be no dark forces and no night there. There's more nothing, there's little as unnerving as walking through the darkness in the woods and something moves. Brother Larry, there's nothing worse than doves out in the middle of the cornfield while you're walking to your tree stand with no flashlight. Because they'll let you walk up within 2 feet of you, and all of a sudden they take off. Have you ever heard a dove take off? They make this little noise as they take off. And I don't care how tough you are, you're going to go, whoa! My dad has a friend that was walking through the cornfield one day, and the wind was blowing at him pretty steady. And he was walking through the cornfield. He tripped over a deer that was laying there. I'm not sure which one outran the other, but they were running in opposite directions really fast. It'll get your attention in the dark. Can I tell you something? You don't want to have that problem in heaven? Oh, this is just the beginning of what will not be in my Father's house. But there's one final thing. Listen carefully. About 90 seconds and I'm done. There are going to be no lost people in heaven. That means there'll be no gospel preached in heaven. There'll be no soul winning in heaven. There'll be no need to get up and preach the gospel because everybody there is already saved. And there'll be no sin. May I say this? That means there's no chance for somebody to get saved there. You have to be saved to get there. I'll be honest with you. I love watching people get saved. Adam, you'll have no idea what it did for this old preacher to watch you get saved yesterday. Whew. Man, I was about ready to come unscrewed. And Brother Mike, I knew what I was preaching. I had it already outlined. And I thought, there's going to be a day where I don't get that joy. And God said, no. But everybody you've won to Christ will be in heaven. And you'll have a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I thought of some of the people that I've seen saved in my ministry and folks my wife and I have led to Christ that are now in the ministry and preaching and reaching and pastoring and missionaries and how God is using them all over the world, and someday in heaven people are going to be saved because knocked on the door or stood and taught in a Sunday school class or got up in church and preached. I might not see anybody get saved in heaven, but I might find out how many really did get saved. Amen. They're using a nobody like me. But that means this. Lost people are going to go to their Father's house. The Bible says that you are of your father, the devil. That means we must work like we have never worked before to get the gospel to every person. To get as many people saved as we can see saved so that they don't have to die and go to hell. Preacher, what motivates you? That. That means we ought to be willing to obey God with our lives. Means we ought to be faithful to church and learning so that we could help other people and bring people to church with us and be at the doctor's office and pass out a gospel tract and say, preacher, could you go see this young man? Sure can. Means you knock on the door of a 27-year-old drunkard like Brother Mike over here. Watch him get saved and watch him teach the Bible someday. That means you stand up and preach the gospel and have a couple like Larry and Sherry Cole walk into your church one day.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
And almost apologize that we don't have a nice building and watch them walk the aisle and trust Christ as their Savior that day and get baptized the next week and look at God change their life.
Amen.
That means you meet an old grizzly bear like Fred. Stubborn. The only thing more stubborn than Fred Skaggs is this preacher. Wouldn't take no for an answer. He was more faithful to church as a lost person than most saved people are.
Just couldn't quite give in. Almost died on us three times. I looked at Fred hours from death and said, Fred, if you don't get saved, you're going to split hell wide open. He said, I know, I'm just not ready yet. Yeah. Then went back over to his house. My wife and his wife sat in the dining room kitchen table there. Well, I looked at Fred sitting there on oxygen. And I watched Fred bow his head and trust Christ as his Savior. But folks, someday that's not going to happen anymore. We're going to win the last one. The trumpet's going to sound. And we're going up.
Amen.
And I don't know about you, but I want to take everybody with me I can. In my Father's house. There are many things. But there are many things that won't be there too that'll make it just as great. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. Who'd say preacher somewhere tucked inside that sermon? Something I needed today. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul? Virtually every hand in the room. If you've been, you may put your hands down. If you've been saved, we'd love to see you obey the Lord today. If you've been saved and never baptized, we can care for it. Saved and baptized, need to join the church, we can care for that. Maybe you just need to kneel at an old-fashioned altar and talk to the Lord for a while. In a moment, we'll stand when the piano begins to play. When we stand, if you need to come to the altar, you come. If you can't get to the altar, you'd like to stay there in your seat and pray, you may. But if you've been saved, how about you make it public?